The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of our loving, life-giving, and sustaining God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The world is filled with special individuals, and I have no doubt that this room is filled with special individuals. And one of the great things about special individuals is that they have this unique way of making a positive impact on the places and spaces that they enter. Perhaps you know some people like that. They have a way that when they come into the room, everything shifts and changes simply because they showed up. When you have social gatherings and parties, we call that type of person the life of the party. You know, Uncle Bob, he's always fun. And we know that when he shows up to the cookout, we're going to have a good time because he's the life of the party. He knows how to change that space. Even in our families, we have individuals that have these type of attributes. They know how to keep things going. We may call them the rock of the family, or the glue that keeps everybody together. Perhaps we don't know what's going to be our next step, but when Aunt Betty gets here, she'll know what to do because she's the glue of the family, and when she shows up, things happen. Even in our workplaces and on our jobs, we run into individuals like this. Maybe we call them that team leader or the continuity of the company. Regardless to the title or the styling that we may attribute to these individuals, the bottom line, my friends, is that when these people that I describe, when they show up, great things happen. And if I could use for a thought for our next few moments, when Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up. In today's gospel lesson, we find ourselves at the conclusion of Luke's account of the resurrection. His resurrection narrative, while it draws many similarities and differences between those of the other gospels, one common thread is definitely found, and that is the image of the risen Christ. And so, when we look at our gospel reading today, what's unique about the way the lectionary starts it off is that it starts it on the B part of the verse, the 36th verse, that is, where we see Jesus entering the room. But the true essence of the unfolding of this scene is really found, I propose, in the A part of the verse. The A part, if we were to go and look when we get home, we would see that Jesus doesn't just show up just because. But preceding this scene, there were two disciples that were walking down alongside the road. And as they were discussing the recent events of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord, all of a sudden Jesus appears to them. And they have conversation and there's fellowship. And they don't even really realize who he is until he's gone. But once they realized that they had encountered the risen Lord, they then went to join the other disciples, and that's where we now see the unfolding of today's scene. When they entered the room, they began to tell the people that were in that room, tell the other disciples, "We have seen Jesus." And so then as they were discussing and talking about their encounter with Christ, all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the middle of the room. When Jesus shows up. When the Lord shows up in the text, he greets them with peace. He offers them peace. But then he immediately begins to discern and address that which he discerns. He discerns the doubt, the fear, the anxiety, the unsettling that is in their mind and in their heart. And he immediately begins to speak to those things. He reassures them of his resurrection. And as the scene unfolds, there are three beautiful things that begin to happen. The first thing is, again, it's this reassurance of resurrection. There were disciples there that they themselves had not seen the risen Lord. And in his appearing, they were finally able to have this encounter for themselves. If I was to use my imagination, I would imagine that there may have been some disciples there that they say, "Okay, I heard what Mary and the other women said. I heard what Peter said, that when he went to visit, he saw the grave clothes there, but he didn't see anybody else. I'm hearing everyone else see him, but I have not seen him for myself." As they begin to grapple with that, all of a sudden, Jesus appears. And in that appearing, it brings this settling. But one of the unique things as the Lord begins to address this doubt that they're experiencing is that the text mentions that they have the doubt right alongside the joy that they're experiencing. My friends, sometimes joy and doubt are counter partners with each other. It may seem strange, but it's very real and it is very possible to experience the joy of Christian hope, the joy of this resurrection season, but still wrestle with doubt. Doubt because of what circumstances and situations we may find ourselves in. Doubt because, as the young folks say, life is lifing and times are hard. And it's not always easy to hold on to that sense of joy. But in the midst of that, there's this reality that shows up in the midst of it all. And so as Christ begins to address this struggle, this wrestling within, what he does is assures them of the power and the reality of resurrection. Resurrection, not just in this idea of living again or being brought back from the dead, but resurrection even to the degree of understanding a newness of life. This opportunity to live on in a new and real way. That essence and that truth is going to be so poignantly captured today as we walk with little Ansley in baptism. Baptism is not just this entry gateway to the church, but it's also this commencing of a newness of life. And as we share with Ansley in this beautiful sacrament, her family and we, her church family, will join around her and make vows on her behalf and make our own vows to be able to support and sustain her on her journey in a newness of life. Not only will we make that commitment to sustain her, but we ourselves will be reminded of our own baptismal covenant to walk in the newness of life, that every day for us as believers is an opportunity to live a day of resurrection, even when sometimes it doesn't feel like it, because Jesus showed up. So the first thing, reassuring of resurrection. The second thing that happened in that moment is that Christ establishes this real presence amongst them. Notice in the text that when the Lord began to speak to the disciples that were gathered there, he immediately discerned not only the doubt, but that some felt this is just a ghost. Maybe this is a figment of my imagination. This cannot possibly be real. And so he offers his hands and his feet. And he says, look at the hands. Surely a ghost does not have flesh and blood like you see I have. Trying again to cement the reality of resurrection. But there's something else that really stuck out to me in this, is that when the Lord offered his hands and feet, he also asked them to look at the wounds and to see the wounds that were there in his hands and in his feet. In my mind, that is an opportunity for us to realize that in spite of this presence with us and that Christ is with us and the reality of that presence, that Christ shows up even when we ourselves are wounded. And there are often times in life where, again, just like the disciples, we grapple with doubt and joy all at the same time, and we're tempted to feel as if we need to ignore the wounds. Again, life sometimes starts to life on us. It's lifing, as young folks say. Times get hard, the winds blow, and there are hard situations that leave us wounded. Sometimes the interactions that we have had with others that have not always demonstrated that boundless love, it has left us wounded. And the invitation today, my friends, is not to ignore the wounds, but to realize that we can face the wounds. And when we face the wounds, Jesus shows up and he brings healing and restoration and an opportunity to move forward as whole individuals. As we encounter Christ in our midst, we're able to experience resurrection and real presence. And the third thing that happens is that there is this calling to responsible discipleship. The Lord Jesus, he takes a moment, he asks them, well, do you have anything to eat? Again, still tackling that doubt, because surely a ghost would not want something to eat. Ask them for some food, and they gave them food. The disciples did something. When we embrace true resurrection power, and when we walk in a newness of life, and when we are aware of the real presence of Christ in us and among us, it calls us to action. We are not the frozen chosen, as some would say, but we are believers that have been empowered by the strength and the truth and the glory and even the mystery of this holy season to get up and do something. We are called to responsible discipleship. Now, what do we mean by that? Because those are two words that could be big pills for anyone to swallow. Responsible simply is that we know and understand the task that we have been called to, and we proceed and pursue it without fail. And discipleship simply is following and mirroring the image of God. We are followers of our Lord, and every single day we allow our Lord to show up in us and through us in the lives of others. We become change agents. We become the type of individual that I described at the beginning, where when we walk into the room, our presence makes a difference, not just because we are so great or so wonderful, but because we serve and we embody a great and wonderful God. This is captured today with the commissioning of the Daughters of King. These are women who have spent time discerning and praying and studying and pinpointing the work that God, and that they believe that God has called them to in this day and in this hour, and they have banded together to publicly make profession of that work. And one thing that really stood out to me was found in their vision and mission statement. And it says, our vision is to make him, God, known to others and to become a reflection of God's love throughout the world. They're not just doing this just because. This is also in fulfillment of their own baptismal covenant, that same covenant that's being made for Ansley. We now see it at the beginning of the journey and at a maturation of the journey. These individuals were just like Ansley at one point. They stood through the waters of baptism, and now they are publicly living out that response to responsible discipleship. And my friends, this is how Jesus shows up today. I don't think that the Lord would materialize on the corner of Main Street and Holly, even though I would like to believe he could if he wanted to. But more than likely, he will not. So how does Jesus show up? Because I think of something that Stuart said to me at the end of the 8 o'clock service. He said, Jimmy, I got to push back a little bit because God is present all the time. Jesus is present everywhere. He's always with us. But then someone else came and interjected, but sometimes he seems so far away. Life, emotions, just things have a way of making our resurrected Lord seem so far away. Yes, he is always with us. But in those moments that we need God the most, God has a way of showing up in a very new and fresh way. When the Daughters of the King, they go out and they fulfill their ministry, Jesus is showing up. When the band of us will gather this evening and go down to Dothan Rescue Mission and tend to those that are less fortunate, those that may not have what we have, and we share in ministry and in fellowship, Jesus is showing up. A little over 3 years ago, Jesus showed up by sending us a good priest to lead and guide and to bring unity and reconciliation and healing to the parish. And guess what? Even as we go into a period of transition and discernment, Jesus is still going to show up. And the work that this parish has done for well over 100 years will continue. Why? Not just because of one monkey stopping the show, because one monkey don't stop a show. But because every time we come together, who's showing up? Jesus. Every time the vestry meets, who's showing up? Jesus. Every time the choir sings, every time Miss Dees plays melodiously on the organ, who is showing up? Jesus. And why does it have to happen Sunday after Sunday and week after week? Because there's someone who still has yet to encounter the risen Christ. My friends, let today be your day. Let this week be your week when someone can encounter the risen Christ in you. When Jesus shows up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.